might be leather bound, but either way, take your Bibles. Let's hold them up and let's say the words together that are up on the screen. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. It is the indestructible, incorruptible, everlasting, living Word of God. I receive it now by faith, and I believe that my life will forever be changed. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you once again for the privilege that we have of hearing your word. Jesus, as head of the church, we look to you today to be all things to us, your church, and through the Holy Spirit to speak to every person here, to build and to strengthen us as we hear your word today. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're in a series right now entitled Make a Difference. And as you know, I've actually been preaching through the mission of Faith Life Church this year. And so if you can put up the mission of Faith Life Church up there, if we can, we got that right, or we don't have it. Okay, we don't have it, but I can say it, and it's right there on that banner back there. So here we go. You ready? Faith Life Church exists to build people's faith so they know Jesus, live free, discover their purpose, and make a difference. Listen, here's what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that every one of us, every follower of Christ, is called to make a difference. And in this series, we want to show you how to make a difference, and we want to encourage you that you can be a difference maker. Jesus made a difference. He made a difference in the world when he came. He's made a difference in our life, and we are called to make a difference. Now, I'm going to change it up a little bit this week. The last 2 weeks, Pastor Larry has been ministering in this series, and he's ministered more along the lines of how you can make a difference and has given you examples of people and told you stories of people. Isn't he a great storyteller? That's why he makes a great children's pastor. But he's told you stories of people who made a difference. But today I want to change it up a little bit. And I want to minister to you a message, and we could kind of say it's the why behind the what we want to be as a difference maker, but why and what's it going to take for us to be a difference maker. And so I want to minister to you a message today entitled, Be the Difference. And so if you will, go with me to the book of 2 Corinthians, and I want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Just before I say that, how many of, we all know this, Jesus makes a difference, doesn't he? Well, we want to be the difference. We're called to be like him. Well, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun." Here's a question. Has Jesus made a difference in your life? In fact, those of us who follow Christ, we could probably say without hesitation, that we could say enthusiastically, oh, what a difference. If my junior high school dean could see me now, she would say, oh, what a difference. We did not think that child was going to make it. I had a great uncle. He was my dad's uncle, but he raised my dad my dad lived with him for part of his early life. And so he was kind of like a second grandfather to us. And they lived in Alabama, and he was very involved in his church. And he was like a deacon, and the church he went to, and this was years ago, they were very strict. They had a lot of religious rules. Well, I was a little wild, and we would go to stay with my uncle and aunt during the summer sometimes for a week or two. And, you know, I'd wear shorts, and that was not allowed at their church. Now, my sister, she was nicer, and she'd take some long pants, not me. I'm going to wear my shorts. I'm going to wear my jewelry to the church. They had this revival, and this guy came and did this revival one time when he was there, and he was telling everybody to put their jewelry on the counter and give it to God, like, you know, don't put jewelry above God. And my parents had just given us really nice new birthstone rings for Christmas. Well, my sister, she's so tenderhearted. She gave away her birthstone ring. I'm hanging on to mine. Because something to me, even though I really didn't know Jesus that well, something was wrong. Just didn't feel right. Now, when we got back to Florida, my sister got a spanking for giving away her ring. Or she got in trouble. I don't know if she got a spanking, but she got in trouble for giving it away. And I remember my uncle, though, I said all that to say my uncle would go, well, Gail's fine, but Jane. And then look at me now. Oh, what a difference. But I still do have the jewelry and the rings, and God's okay with it. He's fine with it because that's not what it's about. But come on. Oh, what a difference. In fact, the Apostle Paul is writing this, and here's what he says. He says, "You, the old life is gone, and the new life is here." In fact, this new life that we have, it's a wonderful life. It's about the power of the cross, the power of the resurrection. What a difference the cross has made in our lives. What a difference the resurrection of Jesus has made. He's raised us to a brand new life. We've been redeemed. We're forgiven. We don't have to carry the burden and the penalty. We don't have to experience the penalty for our sins. He forgave us. And when he was raised up, he raised us up to a new life. It's the power of the cross and the power of the resurrection that's seen in this new life that he's given us. But really, what's different? I want you to focus on that. What's different? Jesus made a difference, but what's different? Here's what this passage teaches us. We're different. It's not just that our life is different. In fact, our life's the same. I remember when I gave my heart to Jesus in junior high school, because I got in trouble so many times, my parents took us back to church. They said, "We got to get this kid in church. He's going wild." So they did. And I walked the aisle and I gave my life to Jesus. You know what? My physical surroundings didn't change. I was still going to the same school. I still had the same friends. My friends didn't change, but I did. You know what? I lost my friends, and I walked away from them because I was different now. I didn't want to do the same things anymore. What's different? Our lives may not change, but we change. We become a brand new person in Christ. In fact, we could say the old life is gone, a new life has begun. Let me read you two definitions of the word different. Here's, well, one is of the word different, and the second one is of the word difference. But the word different, it means not the same as another or each other, unlike in nature, form, or quality, distinct. How many of you know the old nature is nothing like the new nature that God gives us when we come to Christ? They're nothing alike. They're different, unlike in nature, form, quality. We are distinct now. And then how about the word difference? The word difference is defined as a point or way in which people or things are not the same. You may be familiar with the little jingle from Sesame Street. One of these things is not like the other. Come on. And then they usually show a picture, like they'll have four shoes and an umbrella. And then they'll, you know, have the little kids, which one? Listen, something ought to be different about you when you come to Jesus. Now, here's the truth. You are different, but you got to be the difference. You've got to own the new life that you have in Christ. You've got to believe that you are new. How can you make a difference if you are not being different? If you are not living in the light of the new life that Christ has given you? We could say it this way: to make a difference, you have to become a different person, a new person in Christ. Well, you got to be the difference. And the word be, when we talk about the word be, it literally speaks of, it means to exist, it means to occur. So really, when we talk about be the difference, we're talking about who you are, what's happening in your life. When we look at the word existence, it speaks to our reality. What's the reality in your life right now? Is the reality that you're living the new life, or are you still living the old? Are you stuck in the old? How many of you know we can become new and still live in the old? But if we're going to make a difference in our world, we got to be the difference. We got to live it. You know, when we think about reality, for a while, and still to some extent, reality shows became so popular in America. And you know what? For me, that was just TMI. Too much information. I don't want to see, you know, you behaving 24 hours a day. I don't want to see all that. And some of it was so not reality. Come on. But let me just ask you this question. If they were to come to you and say, we want to do a reality show on your life, what would that show reflect? Would it reflect the old or would it reflect the new? Would it reflect the life that has been redeemed through Christ, peace, joy, forgiveness, kindness? Is that what it would reflect? Or would it reflect fear and hopelessness and doubt? The old or the new? What's your reality? That's just between you and God. What's your reality? Are you living the new? How can you have the joy that comes in making a difference if you won't be the difference? We learned in the last series we were in, Live with Purpose. We learned the fact that who we are, our being, is more important than what we do. Well, we could say it this way in light of this message today, be the difference. We could say really who you are, your being, determines what you do and how well you do. Listen, some people are doing some things and they're getting some rewards for what they do, but they're not doing well. Come on, they're not well. They're not well. What's your reality? We have to be the difference if we're ever going to make a difference. Jesus has made a difference in our life. Well, let's talk this morning. I want to share with you some principles from the Word of God of how you can be the difference, how you can live in the light of the reality of the new life that you have in Christ. And listen, when you do, you will make a difference. Here's number one. You want to be the difference? Number one, have faith in Jesus. You say, Pastor Jane, how many times are you going to tell us that? Paul said, it's needful for me to repeat some things. It's good for us to hear this. And while certainly it begins when we initially put faith in Jesus as our Savior, but listen, I want to talk to you also this morning about putting faith in Jesus every day, living by your faith in Him every moment of every day. So I want to take you now, we just read 2 Corinthians 5:17, which Paul wrote. I want to jump back up a verse, and I want to read to you 2 Corinthians 5:16. And here it is. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul writing this, and he says this in 2 Corinthians 5:16. Says, so we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know Him now. And then he went on to say, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. How differently we know Him now. You see, faith sees Jesus for who He is. Paul, you remember, Paul started out as Saul. Paul had to change how he saw Jesus. Can I ask you this morning, how do you see Jesus? Is there something blocking your view of Jesus? Do you see Him every day? Do you see His goodness? Do you see who He is? Do you wake up with your faith in Him, wanting to live the life that He's given you, grateful for the new person that you've become in Him, finding your life in Him? Do you see Jesus, or is there something blocking your view? Is doubt blocking your view of Him? Maybe pain, maybe brokenness. Maybe it's what someone else did who you knew, they knew Jesus, and they did that. So now it's hard for you to see Jesus because of what they did. Listen, don't let them block your view of Jesus. You know, we just went on vacation and we were looking for some places to stay. You know, now you can do the Airbnb and stay in a home. And so, you know, we had the guys with us. And so we wanted to stay in house. And I'm looking for some houses. But what I was really looking for, obviously, a home big enough for all of us. But also I was looking for the view. Yeah. Because it was in Arizona around the mountains. And I wanted to get up in the morning and I wanted to see the mountains. And so I was looking for the view. I didn't want something blocking my view. I don't care if there's a big, if it's a beautiful view, but there's all trees around and you can't see. How's your view? Faith. Come on, it takes faith to see Jesus. Think about Paul. Think about what a difference it made in Paul's life when he saw Jesus differently. If you remember, he started out as Saul. And as Saul of Tarsus, he literally was persecuting Christians. He would take letters from the authorities, and he carried those letters with him. And those letters gave Saul permission to go seek out Christians and turn them in so they would get persecuted, or some even stoned to death. And Saul was doing just that. It says he was carrying letters from the authorities to go seek out Christians. And he was on the road to Damascus. And you know what happened? Most of you do. It says a bright light shone out of heaven. And Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And that day, Saul came into a relationship with God by putting his faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, what a difference. The man who was persecuting followers of Christ now started preaching the gospel of Christ. Oh, what a difference. Because he saw Jesus for who he was. Savior, Redeemer, Healer. Come on, what view of Jesus do you need today? Jesus is everything you need him to be. He will forgive your sins. He will even redeem or restore back to you what the enemy has stolen or what you lost on purpose. Come on. How different things could be if we would just see Jesus, if we put our faith in him. In fact, Paul's life was so different. He went on to be one of the ones that helped reach the known world at that time with the gospel. He wrote over 1/3 of the New Testament. And how many of our lives today are even changed and are different because Paul saw Jesus differently? And listen, when you see Jesus differently, when you and I see Jesus differently, and I don't want to say that like as if we never have. We have, but we need to continue to see him because more people need their lives changed. Listen, you will make a difference in someone else's life when you see Jesus differently and when you keep your faith engaged in him. Well, be the difference. How about number two? Another way to be the difference is be at peace. Man, how different it is in our world to have and to experience peace. Romans 5:1, it says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Wow. He said, we've been made right with God. That's that new life. And we've been made right with God through faith in Jesus. And then we have peace with God. You see, one of the things that faith affords us is peace with God. We're in relationship with him. You think about this word, peace. Let me define it for you. The word peace is simply defined as this, a state of untroubled, undisturbed well-being. Wow. Listen, you can simply be the difference by simply being at peace. I didn't say there wasn't anything to be troubled about. I didn't say there was anything that wasn't disturbing. But here's what our relationship with God through Jesus does. It keeps us in a state of peace regardless of the trouble and in the midst of things that could be very disturbing. You see, when you keep your faith in Jesus and you decide, I'm going to be at peace, you'll make a difference. You could be the difference in the atmosphere of your home when you're at peace. You could be the difference at work when everyone else is upset because they're talking about cutting back and layoffs, and you're different. Be the difference. You could be the difference in the doctor's office when the doctor comes in and has a bad report and everybody's falling apart. Be the difference. Be at peace. What a blessing that would be to so many in our life. Are you at peace? Are you living in the light of your right standing with God? Listen, peace makes a difference. Here's some of the things that are different when we live in peace. We don't panic when something happens. In fact, instead of getting all panicky, we pray. We have peace. We don't retaliate. We trust God. We don't need to retaliate. If someone has stole something from us, if someone has hurt us or harmed us, God will restore it. God will repay. We can be at peace. We don't have to be disturbed over it. We don't have to be all upset. We don't have to cheat, lie, steal. Why? Because God meets all of our needs. Peace makes us different, and peace makes a difference. Listen, here's the fact. Bottom line is God is on our side. So therefore, we can be at peace at all times and in every situation. Peace makes a difference. You know, peace also shines. We're talking about make a difference in your world. Just being at peace will make a difference. When we were taking the two boys in our home and they'd come out of foster care, and they were getting adjusted to our home, caseworkers would come and visit our home. And sometimes we would have to tell them stories. In fact, one time I had to call them out. Things had gotten a little rough there, and there was some bad behavior, and I just needed their help and called them out. And I remember one time, the only time that we actually had to call them and say, you might need to come out here. We need to tell you what, you know, has happened. There's just kind of a meltdown. And I remember by the time they got to the house, everything was peaceful. And, you know, we talked through it, and they said, no, you did a great job. And, you know, but while you're going through the process, I said, I just wanted you to know what was going on. And then there was two women that came out, our caseworker, and she brought somebody with us, brought somebody with her. And it's amazing because she called me the next day, and she said, you know, my worker said the same thing to me that I always witness. And she said, even after what you told us, how one of our boys had just had a behavior meltdown kind of, and we were trying to help him. She said, even in the midst of all of that, there's always such peace in your home. It's always so peaceful. Our granddaughter, Jeff's middle daughter, her daughter came down to stay with us. We brought her down for her high school graduation, brought her down to Florida, and went to the beach to spend a couple of days with her, and she hung out with us. And when she got back home, her daughter called to thank us for bringing her down. And she said, you know, Jade said, Mom, there's just such peace down there. Come on. It shines. It shines. People see Jesus. They want peace. People are hungry for peace. You want to make a difference? Then be the difference. Be at peace. God is on your side. Listen, to some of you today, I'm just going to do this morning. I'm going to speak peace over you. Speak peace over you, over your family, over your finances. Just speak peace over you. Listen, we'll never be perfect, but we can experience perfect peace. Number three, you want to be the difference? Then live the new, not the old. Live the new. Listen to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. It says, with the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. When I read that, I thought, I know a couple people that are hopelessly confused. They don't even want to know the truth. Hopelessly confused. Verse 18. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Listen, our walk ought to match our talk. Our behavior does matter. And I'm not just talking this morning about being different. I'm talking about making a difference. Now, we will be different in some ways, but it begins internally, not just the external, but it will show up externally. Listen, it's not just about following religious rules, but it's about living our best life. Come on. Listen, you are responsible for your behavior. Your mama should have taught you that. Come on. How many of you know you can't say to your mama, you know, well, the devil made me do it. You heard about that lady that she was shopping, had become a shopaholic. And finally her husband said, listen, you have got to stop shopping. You know, we're getting close to the place where you go buy something else, we're not going to be able to pay for it. You know, we don't want the debt. And so she said, we just got to pray for me because, you know, it's just so hard. And he said, well, you just need to resist the temptation. And so she said, okay, next time I'll resist the temptation. So sure enough, it wasn't just a couple days later, she was out walking and she was at the mall and she past her favorite store, and there in the window was this dress. She had seen that dress before, but it was a little bit more than she wanted to pay, but it was on sale. So she thought, well, I'm not going to buy it, but I'm just going to go in and look at it. So she went in and looked at the price, you know. Oh, that's a good price. She said, well, I'm not going to buy it, but I'm just going to try it on. And so she tried it on, and sure enough, she bought it and came home. So she came home, and she tried to she was hoping that her husband wasn't home when she got home, but he was there. So she walked in with the bag, and he said, what happened? She said, you won't believe this. She said, I was walking in the mall, and I was trying to resist, and this dress was on sale, so I just wanted to check the price. And then I thought, well, I'll just try it on. And so I tried it on, and it looked so nice on me. And so then I heard the devil telling me, buy that dress. And I said, get thee behind me, Satan. And he got behind me and said, it looks good there, too. Now, how many of you know we got to be responsible for our own behavior? Certainly there is an enemy and there is a tempter. But come on, we got to live the new. We've got to make sure that the power of Christ is exhibited in our lives. We can't live the same old way and expect to make a difference in our world. And here's what he says we need to do. We need to throw off the old and put on the new. And one of the ways that we throw off the old is consider the new. Consider the new person you become. Paul, once again here in this passage in Ephesians, says, consider Jesus. Consider what Jesus did. Consider the fact that he's now your strength. Consider that you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. And to consider Jesus is to consider the Word of God. So you got to put on the new thoughts. You got to renew your thoughts. You got to renew your attitudes. And really, there's two things that you really need. I want to just share with you, just focus in on these two today. You need to renew your thoughts and your attitudes about sin and about God. Let's talk about sin for just a minute. Let the Bible dictate the attitude that you have towards sin. Here's my question, and don't answer this out loud. Do you love sin a little too much? Come on. The Bible teaches us sin is pleasurable for a season. If there was no pleasure at all in sin, people wouldn't do it. It is pleasurable for a season. But here's what he says. He says, you got to throw off the old. Can you give me that little ball there? I'm going to give you this illustration because, you see, when you consider Jesus, you're going to throw off the old. But I have a feeling that when it comes to throwing off some of the patterns and the sins that we get involved in, destructive, we know that's a destructive practice. It's a destructive lifestyle habit, but we just keep doing it. Because when Jesus said throw it off, we kind of said we toss it. And we could still see it. I threw it. I want it. Come on, how many of you know Jesus? I'm not going to throw because I will hit somebody. And I'm not going to throw because I don't want you to see how far I can't throw it. It wouldn't be a good illustration either. But come on, how many of you know you need to get back and you need to throw it off? You need to renew your thoughts and your attitudes about sin. You need to see sin the way God does. You need to see that sin is destructive. Sin will only hurt you. Yes, for a moment there may be pleasure, but there will be long-term pain for short-term gain. Renew your thoughts. Renew your attitude towards sin. Come on, be the difference at your work. Don't gossip. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Come on. Listen, we live right and we do right. We don't do it as a religious set of rules. I started off by sharing with you, affection. I'm going to toss this to you. Listen, don't trade sins with anybody. No. Don't throw your sin at anybody. Now listen. I started off by telling you about when I was little, there was, you know, religious involved in worship of Jesus and no jewelry, no this, no that. Listen, there ought to be some modest ways. The way we dress ought to reflect some modesty and some, you know, just this, ladies, here's just a good rule of thumb. If you don't want to share it, don't show it. Amen. Just saying. Anyway, and you can look nice, you can look beautiful, you can look attractive, and you can look godly. And you can still be hot. Come on. You can look nice and attractive. But we got to throw sin off. We got to think about sin the way God does. We got to love his commandments. We got to believe that obedience to God pays off and sin doesn't pay off. We got to live right and do right. Because we believe the Bible is the right. It's about living our best life. And then how about our attitude toward God? What is your attitude toward God? Does he care? Is he powerful? Will he help me? Is he the source of real peace, real joy? Come on, we got to know God. And we got to know God the way the Bible teaches us to know him. We got to know about him what the Bible teaches about him and not what religion says about him, not what somebody else says about him. Come on, we got to know God. We got to renew our minds, our thoughts, and our attitudes. I say this often, but you know this. A.W. Tozier said this, that what you think, what comes to mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. You've heard this one about sin too. Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. But come on, God will take you further than you ever thought you would go. He will keep you safe in the midst of every circumstances, and he will pay you more and reward you more than you ever thought you would be rewarded. Now listen, here's what we've learned. If we're going to make a difference, we've got to be the difference. And to be the difference, we need to have faith in Jesus. We need to be at peace. And we need to live the new. Did you get something out of that this morning? I pray that you did. Now, next week, we're going to continue this series. So I encourage you, listen, if you're taking a vacation, go on.